And it was amazing that when Stephen approached my my group in New York, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a joke. I said, really, Bulgaria? I said, what the hell do I know to Bulgaria? He actually gave a great proposal. Mm-hmm. He said, you know what? These kids over here love basketball, man. They love basketball. They don't see athletes or NBA stars here at all. You see the Bulgarian stars, you probably see the European stars here, footballers, soccer, stuff like that. And I said, okay, I'll go over there. You know, it's not about the money for me. It's not about the money. You know, when you talk about the kids here, the kids, and I said, okay, great. It's okay, man. I come there anytime you want me to. Anytime you want me to, I come there anytime, brother. You know what? I even asked him, I said, guess what? Let's go around and talk to the kids around here in the neighborhood. You know, see how they feel about doing anything here, about NBA. You know, because, you know, like I say, you know, you see all the footballers, soccer players, you know, soccer players don't do that. But, you know, you got to give it to Steven. He the one did this.
What is the first thing that they got to know about basketball?
You know, I think in Europe, I think in America, I don't think we breed our kids to be athletes. Over here, I think that once you see the kids between 3 to 5 years old, you know what they want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. Over there, in America, we don't do that. We just let our kids grow up first. And once they get in tune to what they like, now these days around the world now, it's the cell phones, iPads, and stuff like that, because that's what, they have no activity now. But it's more like, you know, it's more like, okay, communication with each other. And so they're going out there, working their body, keeping it in shape, and stuff like that. But I think right now, I think a lot of people are looking at sports right now as a good outlet right now, a good outlet.
What is basketball for you?
Well, it used to be the most relieving thing in my life, as far as like not doing drugs, not being a criminal, not being a deadbeat person, stuff like that. It was amazing. I don't know how I became this famous, but I created this whole madness.
Yeah.
I gotta live it for the rest of my life, and my kids right now are loving it because they understand.
And you improved your image in that way. why did you decide
really? Just that you seem pretty normal now.
Yeah. I know, right? People say I'm normal now because I'm not doing this. You know, I can turn it on if I want to.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that, you know, I have to do one thing now. Create a new Dennis Rodman. You know, I've done this so many years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys are doing it now. You know, I create a lot of things for guys to open the doors and yada, yada, yada. But now it's like more like, okay, great. What can I do that's going to shock people? You guess what? I have one more left. I have one more. I don't know what it is, but I got one more.
And what was the price you paid for that image? And how do you see it right now?
The price I paid? A lot of money. Mm-hmm. A lot of money. A lot of heartache. But you know what? It's like you. If you see the guys in the 60s and 70s, they paid a lot of price, a heavy price, on their bodies or their families and stuff like that. But, you know, it takes a strong-willed person. You know, I got good friends like Elvin King, his sister Peggy, my wife, Michelle, my kids, all my kids that have four kids, they actually stood beside me. All this stuff right here. Because, you know what, my kids got to go to school and say, your dad's, he's gay. Your dad's a cross-dresser. Your dad is this. But the one thing my kids have that's very awesome, I mean very awesome, the fact that my dad's in the Hall of Fame is yours. Awesome, right? Right?
How do you see new Dennis Rodman as a coach, as an agent?
How
you said you want to create new Dennis Rodman?
Well, I've been a creative for a long time, and you know, a lot of people in this industry, the sports industry and the entertainment industry, have actually put me down bottom of the pole. But it's awesome that the fact that, you know what, I'm the only athlete in the world don't have a damn job and still making it. I love it. I love it. I'm the only athlete in the world don't have a job and still making it, right? And guess what? As long as my kids are healthy, wealthy, and wise, and mama is doing one thing, teaching them good values. Touche. Touche.
You're a very sensitive person. Yeah. What is your biggest fear in life?
My biggest fear in life? That I won't live to see my kids be them.
Do you have any regrets?
Oh, yes, I have regrets. If I die, I have regrets.
What is your biggest disappointment in life and in basketball?
Oh, me. Just me. It's a disappointment. Because you know what? I could change this in Detroit. Could change it in San Antonio. Could change it in Chicago. The Lakers or San Antonio. I mean, all these places I could change anything in my life. But the other stuff, you know what? I wouldn't be here right now. Unless, if I change anything back then, I won't be here.
What kind of kid you was?
Person.
No, I was, you know, my mother said when I was 11 years old, 12 years old, I was going to be gay. I'm being honest. I would be gay. I said, I thought I was too, shit. I thought I was too. I said, God damn, Mom. What the hell? You know, I thought I'd be got some, well, shit, I guess I'm going to be gay, right? Fuck it. You know, in Fiji, you know, when the last child, in Fiji, if you're a boy, you have to be a woman. Look it up. In Fiji. If you're a boy, the last child, you got to be a woman. I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
You were the best body forward in the NBA. What was your secret?
I have to say one thing. It's been a power forward. I went from a small forward at 185 pounds when I came in the league to 215 in 1998 as a power forward. 215. Not 220, not 225, 215 power forward. And then one thing. Not too many people can say that. The Bill Russells did one thing. The Will Chambers did one thing. All the other guys, the Charles Barkley's did one thing. They're bigger. I just did my job. My job is the one thing. Win. That's my job. That's all I did is win. I don't need to score to do one thing. Get rings. I don't have to do that. Make it work.
You wrote two autobiographies. Mm-hmm. What was it like, some kind of relief? What did they mean to you?
My stories?
Yeah.
No, it's more like, you know, I got a biography, my biography right now, it's coming out right now.
Yeah.
It's a story where, you know, it's going to be one that is going to create me to the day I die. And hopefully the fact that you guys here, I'm just so honored you guys are even here. You know, just honored because you guys are here, and it's awesome. And guess what? Hopefully the kids Saturday at the camp and the game and all the activities they're going to have, hope you guys come out and show up for the activity for the kids. It'd be awesome, guys.
Where do you get your strength from? You know, many kids in Bulgaria grew up with the same conditions you used to grow up. Like in Bulgaria, they are having a really hard time growing up. What's that one thing that kept you all the time, kept you going and going forward?
Well, I always tell people, you know, the one thing about living in the ghetto, and it's pretty much like this, you know, some areas in Bulgaria, even in Istanbul, Turkey, like that, around the world, it's hard, but once you conduce it to things that's in your life, you get satisfied because you're happy. You're happy. You know, being an athlete or being a star in life, it's hard. It is hard because people watch you every day. They watch you every day, and everything you do is like, you know, it's always eyeballing.
Yeah.
Eyeballing. It's like, whoa, God, I can't do anything, right? Yada, yada, yada. You always judge about it, but it's amazing that, you know, if you go around these kids today, especially here in Bulgaria, most of these kids are happy, and they're actually happy, you know, certain things they like. But most kids, they would love to get out of this poverty and stuff like that, but it's very difficult, it's very hard. But, you know, once they grow up and start understanding how life works, hopefully they do one thing, keep it here, keep it strong here in your head, keep it strong here. Hopefully, something's gonna happen to you. It's gonna be very good.
you didn't know that you're going to be a basketball player till, I don't know, like 18 or so. When did you realize that you can be a good basketball player?
Never did. Never did. Never did. That was my goal. My goal was to do one thing, to make the NBA. That was it. After that, I think, I don't know what happened. I just played Dennis Rodman, you know, play hard. This. And I had good people in my life. Chuck Daly's, the Phil Jacksons, John Lucas, I mean, all the coaches, my college coach, John Hayden, and all those guys are just, hey, I just kept going. They pushed me all the time. Pushed me. And it means that I want the top athletes in the world to this day.
Tell us about your favorite two coaches. What they taught you as a basketball player and as a person?
It was a basketball player just in life. Just in life. I mean, you know, it's hard when I don't have a dad, so it's hard to even look at, you know, guys and try to balance your life through them. But certain things they say, you pick it up. You pick it up and say, wow. But you understand it later. And it's hard to understand it at the moment because it's more like an emotional type of thing. But once you start to think about it, it'll start to get there. It's like, wow. And it hit you one day. And Chuck Daly gave me a good, he said, Dennis, he asked me, he said, Dennis, you know, I'm going to tell you something very cool. He said, good things come to people that wait. I'm like, wow. You know, I don't believe that crap. But you know what? But it did. It did. And you know what? It don't happen to everybody. But for me, it happened. So.
Would you say you are lucky? You get lucky in your life?
I was very fortunate. Very fortunate to be in my position today. I'm very fortunate.
You were at the Chicago Bulls game, I don't know, like a couple of weeks ago. I thought just so Indiana, I don't know. How do you rate that team and their chances to get to the finals?
You know, I've been to Chicago, you know, and I hate to say this, you know, I love Chicago so much. Those fans are probably the best fans literally in the world. I rate this team here, you know, I would love to say they should at least be in the finals. But, you know, everything's right on Derrick Rose, good basketball player. But It's the other pieces with that team, like the, you know, like the
coach.
No. Forget the coach. Boozer, and Noah. Those two guys gotta come and play every night for them to win. They gotta come play every night to win. Cause you know what? Scotty and Michael came to play every fucking night. And guess what? They have to worry about me. I'm there. I ain't gotta score. I gotta do one thing. Rebound, defend, do the little stuff, and get the ball back. There you go. Let's start over again. Awesome. That's my job every night, right? Awesome, brother.
The lesson of life you'll never forget.
Huh?
The lesson of life you will never forget.
Your lesson of life.
Oh, the lesson of life? I really have no lesson in life. It forced me to give people. I just do one thing. You know, a lot of kids emulate players in the world, like soccer players. A lot of soccer people here emulate soccer players around the world. A lot of basketball players emulate basketball players. But you can't orchestrate something that's already been done. You can't do anything that's already been done. Go do you. And then one thing, if you make the Hall of Fame or you make the College Hall of Fame or you do anything in sports, do it. Let's go do it. At least you said, I did it. And thank God. The one thing, I'm living life to the fullest.
One advice your mom always gives you and what the advice you give to your kids?
Well, me and my mom don't get along, but you know, I love my mom. Like I said, I don't have a dad, so. My mom always said one thing, you know what, to each his own. But I always tell my kids, you know what, life don't play fair. Play the game. Because these days, if you play life to the fucking fullest, it'll fuck you over. Just play the game, ride it out. And one day you're gonna do one thing. Get out that exit. And all of a sudden, now you're on your own.
Thank you.
Now you own your own. Life's gonna do one thing for you now. Give her a good new severity of love. Severity of love. Shay.
You've been with a couple of the most beautiful women in the world. Yeah. We should have.
Oh, that's good.
Last night you said you read somewhere about the women in Bulgaria, but you have seen a lot of women.
Well, I've seen a lot of girls. I've seen a lot of girls in the world, and it's one thing. Stephen brought me here. That's a guy right there. That's right there. That guy right there. That guy right there. That guy right there. That guy right there. Keep calling him Stephen Stephen. Well, he brought me here, and he said, Dennis, you know what? It's amazing that, you know, first he said, thank you for coming here. He didn't believe, you know, he thought I was sick. You know, other people thought I was sick. I'm like, am I sick? Shit. Am I sick? I'm healthy as hell. And he believed in me, and hopefully that we're going to do some things in the future. But, you know, I've seen a lot of beautiful girls in the world. I see these guys, you are very beautiful. You guys are gorgeous, you know, just in your own way. I'm just saying, you know, but I'm just saying, though, either way, love is good, guys. You know, love is good.
Exactly. Tell us about the madman of love. What does it mean?
Well, the madman of love. You know what? If you see guys in the NBA, you know, I started tattoos in the NBA.
Yeah.
I saw tattoos around the world for sports wise. You know, I was the first guy to ever do it. I was the first guy to ever dye my hair. Madman of love. I'm just saying, though, you know what? You know, it's okay to be bad. Understand that, you know what? When you go home, you're always good. Understand. Touché.
And what about the Bad Boys Club?
The basketball clubs. I mean, it's more like, you know, you see the Vince Neils, yeah. You see the Dennis Rodman, you see the Bobby Browns, you see all these bad guys around the world going to jail like me, and you know what? We're not bad. We just whatever. We're guilty by doing some real weird shit. You know? It's not good to be bad. I'm just saying, you can actually be bad to be good. Make it work.
Your secret of happiness in
3
words.
He probably knows this. I'll say it straight the fuck up. Make it work. Make it work. Touché.
Absolutely. What does a superstar athlete like you does after finish with professional? What do you do? Like, what's your everyday? You wake up, I don't know, just go clubbing all day, all night, and stuff.
I do one thing. I go work out, you know, get my mind right first. Thank God I get a hangover. Elgin can say that. Elgin King right there, guys. And my manager right there. He's right there, guys. Pan over there, guys. Pan. Just pan over there. Got a cool pan over there. Good guys. He's right there. Okay. You know, it's a hard thing. It's like saying if I ask any one of you women here, lovely girls here, how can you hunt a guy like me every day, knowing the fact that, you know what, I'm always there in the public's eye doing one thing, making it work. Hello. Now show me how that works. You see, you tell me how it works. How the hell you know that shit? You tell me that, baby.